Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to be joined at 8 o'clock by the great Teresa Walker from the Associated Press. We'll get her thoughts on the Titans and the Bengals coming up this weekend at Nissan Stadium. And as always, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Our buddy Liam texting in says, "The last time I was this excited for a game against the Bengals, it was the very first Titans game at Adelphia. It was a wild back and forth that we pulled out 36-35 that sparked an amazing season and run to the Super Bowl. I'm hoping this game erases the pain of losing as the one seed in years past and puts us on trajectory to win the big one." I remember that game. Opening game at Adelphia Coliseum. Eddie George scoring a big touchdown in that game. And that was the beginning of a special season for the Titans. We'll see if they could be a kind of a repeat performance coming up on Saturday. I think most Titans fans would probably hope for a different final score than 36-35, though. One-point game may drive people nuts.
So the thing that I hear about that game often is the level to which Steve McNair was booed in that game.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently he was just booed heavily, but then came all the way back and quieted people. It's weird to think of Steve McNair being booed a lot, but apparently that was the case here, huh?
That was the case pretty early on, and then that quickly became not the case after that year, especially seeing what he did and what he played through. And as you know, Joe, the backup quarterback in many markups, a lot of times the most popular player.
Yep, Neil O'Donnell, pretty good backup. At that time, Neil O'Donnell, you could have done a lot worse at number two, and he was key at times too.
Ron texting in says, "I get it. Everybody, including me, is excited about Henry returning, but I bet nobody is excited as he is. I'm guessing they're keeping Henry away from the media this week." I don't know. I guess we'll see. Think Derrick Henry addresses the media this week?
I think he will. Yes. I think he will address the media. So,
cool.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that, again, you could activate him Friday and then you could just avoid the media thing altogether. But this is you think about everybody's jobs. If your job is doing PR for the Titans, what is the NFL at large most interested in? I mean, they are most interested in Derrick Henry always, and certainly this week. So yes, I do believe that one of these days coming up, he will speak.
So, Joe, there are four teams left in the AFC. Obviously, the Titans and the Bengals. Then you have the Bills and the Chiefs on the other side in the AFC. Four teams left this year. You can forecast out. I don't think it takes a genius to think that Kansas City, as long as they have Patrick Mahomes, probably going to be in the mix. Buffalo, when they have Josh Allen, probably going to be in the mix. And now you've got Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and company kind of elevating and I think way ahead of schedule this year, winning the division and now in the divisional round. We'll see what happens this weekend between the Titans and the Bengals. As you start to forecast out and look ahead at the AFC, are the four teams that are left in the AFC in your mind next year a lock to be one of the top four or five teams in the AFC a year from now? Because I look around the conference, obviously looks like Ben's going to be out in Pittsburgh. I think the Ravens are going the other way. I think they're getting older. I think the defense is not what it used to be. We'll see how they can kind of revamp that offense heading into next year. To me, as long as Cleveland has Baker Mayfield, they're not being in my top five. We'll see what they do at the quarterback position. Like, I look around at the AFC, I feel pretty good about these four teams even heading into next year. And I guess maybe, who's next? Is it the Chargers? Is it the Patriots? Like, who starts to elevate into that kind of upper echelon with these four teams? It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Well, yeah. Look, I mean, I think next year I feel good still about the Titans. The Titans will still have a good team. But if you took if you did like next 5 years, who are your top five teams? I think I'd have a hard – I mean, I think the Titans would be on the fringe of that. It's just hard to know. sure. exactly how a lot of things are going to go. I do know that they're not going to be in that top five if drafts don't return to like 2019 kinds of drafts for them. They need to get that rolling again. And you know, obviously you have to make good choices in free agency, but there's some tough choices ahead for them. And I think the when a little bit longer term view with the Titans, Tannehill, I mean, he's older now. He's not old compared to some quarterbacks who are doing very well this league, but what's the future for him down the road, a few years down the road? Derrick Henry, how long does he have at this level? And now that he's had this serious injury, what does that mean? I mean, I think the three teams that I feel really good about as long-term, you know, stocks, even though you're right now you're buying high, but still, like, I like – well, two of them are you're buying high. That's the Chiefs and the Bills. I just – again, this is largely a quarterback discussion, Chiefs and Bills. Yeah. And then I'm putting the Bengals in there. I just – I think the Bengals – I think – you know, I don't think the Bengals are ready this year. I don't think they're quite there yet. But I think we're going to be hearing a lot about the Cincinnati Bengals in years to come with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase leading the way. And I think I would go Chargers as much as Brandon Staley had some weird days this year. I still think their roster is good, and I think Justin Herbert is really good. Then that's like that fifth spot. I don't know that I'm not totally with you on the Ravens. They're so banged up. Like, if you tell me that a lot of those guys, I mean, a lot of those guys still aren't old. Like, they just got hurt. You know what I mean? So, and I still think Lamar Jackson, a healthy Lamar Jackson with a good running back, you know, we keep building around him, is a problem for people. So, that's kind of where I would go. But obviously, you have the Titans. Yeah, you can't discount the Patriots. I just don't know. I just don't know on the Patriots. Like, Mac Jones, really good rookie season. I'm not sure about his ceiling, but we'll see. I think he'll be fine. But are they going to be one of those teams? The Belichick factor is the biggest reason to say so.
Well, the quarterback part of this, like, That's why the Joe Burrow discussion to me is so interesting, because I think he's already getting very close to the status of elite quarterback. Like, I think he's really darn good. And my question is, like, how good can Joe Burrow be if they find a way to protect him? We talked about it yesterday. He's the most sacked quarterback in the league. His rookie year, he tore his ACL because he got destroyed every time he dropped back for a pass. Now, he's obviously been phenomenal this year. How much better can he be if they find a way to protect it? That's a pretty scary thought to think about.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, he's he is going to be a problem. I don't think you can just say Joe Burrow. Like, it's also – like, Joe Burrow is going to be one of the top-tier quarterbacks. I mean, I think he's that good. Whatever that number is, top three, top five, top seven, whatever. He's going to be one of those guys. But Ja'Marr Chase might be the best receiver. I know he's a rookie, and it's like, you know, you pump the brakes a little bit. I get it. But rookies aren't supposed to be this good. This is a rookie who, by the way, didn't play football last year. Pretty good decision, by the way. Yeah. I think he might be the receiver in the NFL. Like, right now, your guy, I think, is Devontae Adams is the guy, and it's not like he's falling off anytime soon. But, like, a few years from now, it might be Ja'Marr Chase and everybody else at that position. So, yeah, then you add in protection. You know, they've got some work to do there, obviously, and they've got some work to do on defense. But that's, to me, that's where you look for, you know, these teams that you think are going to be at the top of a conference. I mean, I think it's still that position that is most important. You know, with the Titans, I could still see the Titans being a very good team moving forward with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. If he can stay healthy and keep playing at this level, you know, and getting out of the pocket and running is still a big part. Like, it's not a frequent part of his game, but I still think it's an important part of his game. And I think it's going to be an important part of his game moving forward here in this playoff. But, you know, what's around him? I think the Titans have, you know, they've kicked the can a little bit here, and they've made it so that they're going to have, I don't know that they're looking at like an Eagles-like situation where they did so much of that. You knew that the bottom was going to fall out at some point, but the Titans are moving into an area where it's going to be difficult, you know, to keep a lot of the guys that they'd like to keep. And we've already seen some of that, and they're still very good.
We'll continue this discussion when we come back. Get to more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Make sure you're tuning in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We'll have that opportunity coming up later this morning at 8:45. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Coming to you live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here on this Tuesday morning. Looking ahead to the Titans and Bengals. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we're talking about over the next 5 years, the AFC teams that you're buying, and a lot of that discussion has to do with the quarterback position. One team that I'm interested to get your thoughts on, and really one quarterback I'm interested to get your thoughts on, is Tua Tagovailoa down there in Miami. Now, obviously, you know, the earlier part of this season, the conversation was, all right, are the Dolphins going to trade for Deshaun Watson, and is that going to be the landing spot for him, and they're just going to move on from Tua? Now Brian Flores is out as head coach of the Dolphins. Tua, you know, he didn't put up numbers that light the world on fire this year. He did have a very high completion percentage. A lot of what the Dolphins did was basically a passing attack that was an extension of their running game that we saw here in Nashville as well. What are your thoughts on Tua to this point? And do the Dolphins come to mind when you talk about teams that you're buying in the AFC over the next 5 years?
I can't buy a team that just dumped a good coach and has an uncertain future. You know, and Tua is not enough for me to like. Tua doesn't transcend their issues to me, at least not right now. And look, before they started in the NFL, I would have believed Tua is going to be a great quarterback. I really thought so. And I would have thought Jalen Hurts would be like a backup in the league. You know, I thought there was a huge gap between those two guys, which I think we saw some at Alabama. I think when Tua was right and was like in that 18 season, Tua at Alabama with great receivers, with great talent, with all that stuff around him, I thought that was some of the most, you know, just some of the best quarterback play I've seen, just the best arm talent, accuracy, and everything that I've seen in college football. So I was a big believer in Tua, and I am much less of one now. I'm not throwing in the towel on him. I still think he's got a lot of ability, but it's sort of like the Wentz thing, even Rivers. And Rivers has obviously had a great career, but like just some quarterbacks can't seem to get rid of the just mind-blowing turnover thing. And early on, you know, Tua has got too many of those. Again, it's early. So I think Tua is still going to get a chance to be a star in this league. And if you told me that he's going to put it all together and be a really good quarterback, I'm not shocked by that, but I am a little bit discouraged right now. So I wouldn't have them. They've got some good young players. I think they've got some really good pieces on defense, but I mean, I just, the fact that they let some, all this stuff with Watson, with Tua, in fighting and all that stuff, and then your own, and they decide to move on from a good coach. I have a hard time trusting them.
So where does Tannehill fit into this discussion? Because I think we would all agree at this point, he's obviously not Patrick Mahomes. He's not Josh Allen. Heck, I don't think he's Joe Burrow. And Joe Burrow, I think, is going to be an elite player in the league for a long time. He's 33 years old. You know, this is now the third season in a row that he will have made the playoffs with the Titans. He's been to an AFC title game. They've won the division 2 years in a row. He was one of the few guys this year that stayed healthy the whole year, and he's been pretty much healthy since he took over as starting quarterback for the Titans. You mentioned it earlier. I mean, 33, obviously he's older than the Mahomes and the Josh Allens and the Joe Burrows of the world. It's still not like he's ancient at the quarterback position. You've got Rodgers playing at 38. You've got Brady at 44. slinging the ball around. And I realize those two guys are kind of a different part of the conversation here. But can you see Ryan Tannehill still being the quarterback of the Titans 3, 4, 5 years from now? Where do you think Tannehill fits into this discussion, and how does that impact the Titans window in your mind?
Yeah, I'm not ruling it out at all. Yeah, I mean, he turns 34 this coming off season, and I think the Titans could be in a lot worse situation than having Tannehill be their quarterback for the next several years. Some of that, frankly, some of that's probably answered a little bit in this postseason, because if you're John Robinson, Mike Vrabel, Amy Adams Strunk, certainly you want to feel like your quarterback can get things done in the postseason. So that's going to have, you can, like, this regular season, all the ups and downs, which I think were there's a lot of reasons for him, and they're not all other reasons. Some of them are his own play, but that means nothing if he's good in the postseason and they win games, right? So to me, if that happens in this absolute highest possible pressure that you can have for a quarterback, then that changes. Like, if I'm those people, the decision makers, it's like, yeah, this could be our guy. And maybe beyond, the contract. I mean, right now they've had to, they've restructured and everything to the point where, and we've talked about it a ton, he goes from an 11 million cap hit now to 38.6 next year, big cap hit. And then in 23, 36.6. So essentially, and the dead cap numbers are huge, so essentially, Tannehill is certainly going to be your quarterback the next 2 years. He's still under contract in 24 and 25, and all that stuff goes down, so you can get out of it. But maybe you don't want to. And maybe, if it's good here, this playoff, and then next year, I could see another deal for him. That, to me, that's probably best case scenario. At some point, you got the painful reality of having to find another quarterback in the NFL, which for some teams, franchises, it's like wandering the Sahara for a decade. And to get a really good one, a lot of times you have to be just awful to be at the top of the draft. So, the best chance to me for the Titans to sustain the success and keep stacking years is to have him be really good and be able to hang in with him into his late 30s. I know some Titans fans would probably hate that idea, and maybe it won't happen, but I think it's a very real possibility.
Joe, when you look around the rest of the playoffs right now, we discussed it earlier, 8 teams left, you're in the divisional round. Obviously, this time of year, there's tons of pressure on everybody, but there's lots of pressures on the quarterback specifically. As you look around the rest of the league that is still alive at this point, where does Tannehill kind of fit in your mind in terms of the pressure scale? Like, when you talk about the pressure that's on Ryan Tannehill in this postseason compared to other quarterbacks, where do you think he stacks up with guys that are still left in the playoffs?
That's an interesting question. I think Stafford, that was a big deal for Stafford last night to win that game.
Yep.
I don't think there's pressure on Brady. Brady can go out there and kneel, 20 times and say, I'm done, guys. See, Gronk and I are hitting the boat with the avocado tequila. He's the GOAT. I don't think there's pressure on him. I think there is pressure on your guy.
Yeah.
I think there's definite pressure on Aaron Rodgers, especially after last year being at home in that game and losing to Brady. I think there's a lot of, one ring. A player that great and some of the teams he's been on, one ring. I think that might be the most pressure on anyone, right?
I think he's far and away number one. I think there's more pressure on him than anyone. I would probably say I'd go Stafford at number two. I agree. I don't think there's any pressure on Brady whatsoever. I don't think there's any pressure on Burrow whatsoever. I think he's already probably exceeded expectations. I guess you could say there's pressure on Mahomes, but again, you're talking about a guy that has gone to an AFC title game, has won a Super Bowl, and has lost a Super Bowl. So, is there really a ton of pressure on Patrick Mahomes at this point in his career? I don't know. I guess you could go either way on that. Like the Tannehill, the Josh Allen discussion, like I think Tannehill, you could make an argument maybe number three on this list. I would put him behind Rodgers and Stafford. I think you could make that argument.
Yeah, I think you make that case. I still think with Mahomes, though, because you know they lost. I mean, look, they were the favorite coming in. You know, they were the favorites even if with all their ups and downs, they were the favorite coming in the playoff, and they lost the Super Bowl last year. And we're talking. You know, I mean, I think the pressure is different when people are talking. Is this potentially the greatest quarterback ever? 10 years down the road, right?
Right.
So I still think it's pretty significant on him. But I think you're right. There's a lot of pressure on Tannehill. And the thing is, it's not like it's pressure to carry the team. That's not how this team is built. If everything works as it's supposed to work here, he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to move boulders here. He just has to, he's got to manage the game. He's going to have to make some big pressure throws, but he should be, he should have a chance to make those plays and be in good shape, but still it doesn't guarantee that he will. So I think you're right. He's certainly in the top half of these eight QBs left, no doubt.
Well, and I think the way that most people look at it, it kind of goes back to the conversation with him that we had at the beginning of the year of, if he plays well, everybody's going to say, well, that's great. You've got Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. I do think that conversation has changed somewhat over the course of the year based on the way the season has gone, and most notably based on the fact that Julio Jones largely has not been much of a factor in this offense. But to me, like, if Tannehill doesn't play well, people are going to look around and they're going to say, well, the Titans have all these great players. They've got Derrick Henry. They've got a great defense this year. They've got all these things, and the quarterback is the one that's holding them back. If they win, it's going to be, well, Derrick Henry came back. The defense played well. Like, the quarterback's going to be fifth or sixth on the list in terms of people of what people say in order of if they're able to go and make a deep run in the playoffs. So it's kind of a different pressure for him from that perspective.
Yeah. Well, I agree. But I mean, if they win, and again, this goes back to a couple of years ago, the around and around arguments on how he played. Like, if he doesn't make some very important plays in those games that Derrick Henry dominated, they still don't win, So, I mean, he'll take the win and the disrespect certainly over, being the reason they lose or just not doing enough to win. Because that's where, at some point, if that happens this year, and he wasn't good enough against Baltimore last year, that's where the Titans probably have to look at it a little bit differently moving forward.
We'll continue the discussion on the Titans and the Bengals. Get to more of your thoughts as well coming up on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Visit volstatebank.com to learn more about their free Casasa checking account. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Talking Titans and Bengals. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Sean in Murfreesboro texting in says, with the game being sold out, can the fans have an impact with the game? The Eddie George McNair Titans, in those games you couldn't even hear your neighbor at this point. It's going to be an interesting environment coming up at Nissan Stadium on Saturday. I mean, to answer your question, yeah, I think the fans can have a major impact on this game. I think home field advantage is a big deal. And to Sean's point, back in the day, that was one of the best atmospheres in the NFL, was the Delphia Coliseum. There's been a lot of work involved to try and get it close to back in that point. I do think they've made some progress this year. I'm not going to sit here and say it's exactly like it was back in 99, 2000, but yes, I think the fans can make a big impact in this game coming up on Saturday.
Oh, I totally expect them to make an impact. I think they've made an impact in quite a few games this year. Somehow, despite being only 7% of the crowd, they made an impact against Buffalo. It was amazing. Like, I don't know what they did.
There's only nine Titans fans in the whole building, and those guys were loud, let me tell you.
Maybe there was some hypnosis going on in the stands, and they got all those Bills fans to cheer for the Titans. But that was a great atmosphere, Monday Night Football. And that, I mean, I think, like, I don't know how many times this year, opponents have had to go, like, silent count and have had, like, false starts because of the crowd. But I think the crowd can affect the game beyond that. I mean, being in a stadium and a big play happens against you and the noise greets it, that can be demoralizing to the other team. It can be energizing to the home team. I think you've seen this is easily the best home atmosphere I've seen in six seasons covering the Titans. And I would totally expect it to go to a new level here coming up on Saturday as the Titans go for their first home win in the playoffs since 2003.
Yeah, pretty incredible to think about that. Let's go back to the text line. Santa in Portland texting in says, Tannehill is like any other decent quarterback. The better you protect him, the better he'll be. Just as Robbie mentioned regarding Burrow, when you protect them, they've got the ability to perform better. And we've seen that with Tannehill all year long. So Santa saying the protection, the biggest factor with Tannehill as they move into the playoffs here.
Yeah, it's pretty important. It's funny. I went back and read what I wrote in Cincy last year when they lost that game. And it was interesting because it was talking about a lot of it was mostly about the defense and how bad it was. I mean, that was probably the low point. That was Jonathan Joseph has got it. I mean,
Wasn't that the same game where the Bengals had like three backup offensive linemen starting in the game for an offensive line that was trash anyway?
They were already bad. Yeah, there was a trash offensive line that was like sub cheeks with all the injuries, and still, like, and there were plays where like Landry or Clowney were in for a sack, and then they couldn't. I mean, Burrow got out of it. I mean, he was really good. But one part of the column that it was the whole thing about his Tannehill's protection, and basically like, you know, his protection in the first five games. Pretty much perfection. Like he was not touched. He was not pressured, you know, but now Lawan had gone out by then and you could start to see the effects of that. Of course, you know, again, they figured it out pretty well last year still, even without Lawan, but it was interesting to read that. Like, oh, that's right. Early in the season last year, protection was incredible. Tannehill was, you know, just playing at a super high level. That game actually, you know, the turnover, the pick he had, which really was just a needless pick on a drive where they were just going down the field. That was a big play because sometimes with those teams like that, you know, if you can get some separation early, you really take their confidence out. But that helped feed the Bengals' confidence. And I must say, I never would have guessed at that point that we'd be talking about a Titans-Bengals playoff game just a year later. But that's how much better the Bengals have gotten. And that's what it means to have a quarterback like that. Because to the texter's point, yes, Burrow, you know, when he gets protection, he can carve you up. But he's been carving people up without protection this year.
Yeah.
And that's what not a lot of quarterbacks in this league can do.
Yeah, he's been pretty impressive to watch. Got a texter that says, you heard it here first, Julio Jones will be Super Bowl MVP. Julio Jones, Super Bowl MVP, coming from an unnamed texter. What do you think of that one, Joe Rexroth?
That's a called shot. That is a called shot. I mean, all these people who thought the Steelers were going to be competitive this weekend missed out on a chance to have me wash their car.
Yeah.
Julio Jones, the Super Bowl MVP, that might be a car wash kind of situation. So, you know, remind us later with your name and you can get in line.
Rex Road is determined to wash people's cars by the time this year is over. Determined.
It's slushy and sludgy out there, and it's a great time to – I know that our cars right now are very, very gross. So that's a very satisfying wash, a winter wash, you know, get all that crap off. Problem is, well, it should be fine here. If you live in winter areas, then it immediately gets dirty in like an hour.
Well, this is a winter wonderland now. So that's what we do here. Get some snow.
It's going to start melting today, though, right? I think so.
Hope so. Rob on the text line says, Tannehill's not getting enough respect. Respect for showing up game in, game out. We have not had to have a legitimate backup because we can always count on Ryan Tannehill. He may not be the best quarterback, but he's ours, and he's very reliable. This is coming from Rob on the text line, and no, it is not me.
Well, hey, look, I think the Tannehill – I mean, we had Ryan Porth, and Ryan Porth was just out on Tannehill. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what are you, still been over here? And I'd like to know Porth's take now. Is he okay with him again? I think people overreacted to Tannehill. Not to say that he didn't have some bad moments this year. I mean, I think he I think he had some shaky moments of confidence. And again, a lot of it probably had to do with not knowing who's going to be lining up next to him on Sundays, but that doesn't excuse everything. But I agree. I think he's been a good player and you can do a lot worse than Ryan Tannehill. And I know, look, someone who fully believes in him is Mike Vrabel. Again, you gotta go through 20 minutes of press conference to find a couple minutes of, you know, something that where he's saying something meaningful, but he doesn't make any bones about what he feels about Tannehill, his toughness, his reliability. I think he believes in him. And I think this team does too. You know, we'll see if Tannehill can justify that belief Saturday, but I don't think that they like wavered in that or lost confidence in him this year. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes on. And I feel like he's kind of rounding back into form, sort of like, you know, like the Bills this year. I mean, Josh Allen had a bad stretch too, which is crazy to think, but he really did. Like, he played really poorly for a few weeks. And I'm not saying Tannehill's as good as Josh Allen. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying there's another quarterback who had a dip. Mahomes had a dip, and those guys both are pretty good now. And they've been pretty good all along.
They have. Taylor from Fort Campbell texting in says, don't sleep on the Bengals fans traveling to the game. I am interested to see what that ends up looking like. I don't expect the Cincinnati Bengal takeover, but you know, pretty easy drive from Cincinnati to Nashville. I'm interested to see what that looks like.
Yeah, I am too. I'm sure that there's some Bengals fans willing to put down some serious change will be in there. I don't think it'll be anything where it's like a bowl game, you know, with equal sides, but I'm sure there'll be some presence there.
When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans and the Bengals, and we'll get to an interesting exercise that one of our listeners threw out there yesterday as well. That's coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. We're going to be joined by our friend Teresa Walker from the Associated Press coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get her thoughts on the Titans and the Bengals coming up this Saturday at Nissan Stadium. Joe, yesterday we had our listener friend Jim text in and said, basically, go through the offense and the defense for the Titans and the Bengals and go playground style. Who are you picking in your starting lineup? How many Bengals would be in the starting lineup if you went through both teams? So let's start on the offensive side of the ball. We kind of identified four guys yesterday that I think probably everyone would agree would be the first four picks from these two teams on the offensive side of the ball. Some combination of Derrick Henry, Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and A.J. Brown. My question is, who's the first pick in that group? Is it as simple as Burrow's the quarterback, so he's the first pick? And which receiver are you taking first, Ja'Marr Chase or A.J. Brown?
Well, there's my second mute.
Two mutes.
Two mutes. That's a great question on the overall. I mean, I guess it's Burrow, the first overall pick. I mean, if someone said, yeah, I'll go ahead and take 22 first, I wouldn't yell at them, you know, because that's what's interesting too, is like Joe Mixon like wouldn't start on the Titans. I went through the Titans schedule and I was like, I wrote this today, but you know, Jonathan Taylor's the best back they saw that they faced. I think Joe Mixon's probably the second best back. They didn't see Kamara. He didn't play in the Saints game. So I think Mixon is probably the second best running. I mean, all week, no one's going to talk about Joe Mixon. You know, he's just 1,200 yard back, you know.
Does Debo Samuel count?
Just the ball.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Glitching?
There you go. You're good. Does Debo Samuel count?
Yeah. He probably is high on the list too. Right. But I'm going to take Chase over A.J. Brown, and all due respect to A.J. Brown. He's a heck of a player. Look, Ja'Marr Chase is, he's something else, man. He's headed for an insane career if he stays healthy.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. As you get deeper down the roster, and I'm just kind of going in a let's go three wide receiver set in this offense that we're picking here. The question that I'm about to ask you would have been laughable before the season. And right now, I think it's a really interesting question. When you get beyond the Ja'Marr Chase and A.J. Brown conversation, you get into Julio Jones and Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins. Like, is it possible between these two teams that Julio Jones is the fourth wide receiver taken?
Oh, yeah. I mean, to me, it's Chase and Brown. Well,
I guess he's fifth.
He might be fifth. I mean, it's certainly Higgins to me right now. T. Higgins at the year he had 1,000-yard season. So it's Chase, Brown, Higgins, and then you can nitpick between. Yeah, I might take Julio Jones over Tyler Boyd. Just Julio's track record, and again, if you right now at this moment. Julio just coming off a good day in Houston. So maybe I'd probably put him fourth. But, yeah, I don't think – I mean, T. Higgins right now is just a more productive player, and a lot of that has to do with availability. But availability is pretty important in this game.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, Tyler Boyd, you know, 67 catches, 828 yards, 5 touchdowns this year for the Bengals. Like, it's – the skill position matchup here is pretty fascinating in terms of, obviously, I mean, the Bengals offense is not going head-to-head against the Titans offense, but there's a lot of skill position talent in this matchup coming up on Saturday. The Bengals, I mean, you mentioned it. Nobody's going to talk about Joe Mixon this week. Joe Mixon's a pretty darn good back in this league.
Right, and they have a good tight end, too. Yep. I mean, if you're going to go starters, the Bengals have the starter at tight end too. They got two of the three starters at receiver, the quarterback, and the tight end. CJ Uzoma is a good player. And that's what's the thing is, Chase gets so much attention as he should, but when you have outlets, you know, basically of that quality, boy, does that help you? That's how they've overcome this offensive line.
Yeah. Well, that's to me where when you start to get into where I think it becomes really Titans heavy when you're picking between the two teams, the offensive line, I think the Titans have the edge there, even as banged up as they've been this year. And quite frankly, at times as bad as the pass blocking has been, I still think, Taylor Lewan's your left tackle. I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, the offensive line is where I think there starts to be some separation. And then on the defensive side of the ball, like, When you factor in, you know, the Autrys and the Landrys and the Bud Dupree's and David Long Jr. and Kevin Byer, like go up and down the list, it's going to be pretty defensive Titans heavy on that side of the ball when you start picking between the two teams. At least that's the way I would do it.
Yes. Now the offensive line does get interesting. I mean, actually, here's a question, Titans fans. Would you like Quentin Spain back at offensive guard? Quentin Spain, a little revenge game. Vrabel mentioned that yesterday. You know, like, Quentin Spain's going to be ready to, ready for the challenge.
So is Randy Bullock, but yeah.
That's right. Randy Bullock turning it around the other way. I mean, I would look at this and say, that's the thing. It's like, I mean, the Titans, of course, have struggled a lot up front, especially in protection. And yet I'm going to go Lewan, Saffold. You know, Ben Jones versus Trey Hopkins, I don't know. That's a tougher one. I'm going to go Nate Davis. I'll probably go Isaiah Prince for them at right tackle. That might be the only one, though.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I think it might be. And then on the defensive side of the ball, you're going pretty heavy Titans. I mean, you got Christian Fulton. You got Byard. You got the front four for the Titans, the linebacking. I mean, we haven't even really talked about Zach Cunningham. Pretty big deal to have Zach Cunningham in this matchup, too. It's pretty heavy Titans on the other side of the ball.
I mean, it's very heavy Titans. You know, Von Bell's is a good safety, but I mean, I guess you could argue like Von Bell in for Imani Hooker. You could argue that. DJ sure. Reader is a load, but like who, you know, I mean, I guess if you're starting three defensive linemen and one of them is like Tier Tart, or Naquan Jones. I guess, you know, like, okay, put DJ Reader. I mean, he is straight up. I mean, he is their, you know, he's a nose tag. He's a space eater. It's still a big part of their rush D. No, Logan Wilson, 100 tackles this year at linebacker. Good player, but I'm not putting him in over Cunningham or David Long. No. Trey Hendrickson is really good. I think he's probably got to find a spot in my starting lineup. But, you know, then you start getting into, like, how are you lining up? Because, I mean, I'm certainly starting Landry, Simmons, Dupree, Autry, Long, Cunningham, Fulton, Byard.
Yeah.
You could maybe like an Eli Apple. Would you have him at one of the corner spots? Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. I mean over Jenkins. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Like it's certainly possible. But the thing I take away from this exercise is Bengals got some really good players at the skill positions. When you go through the entire starting 22, I mean, the Titans are – the better team, it seems like. And it seems like the Titans, especially on the defensive side of the ball, would have a big edge. So we'll see whether or not that comes to fruition on Saturday in that matchup. Again, we talked about it a lot yesterday. Probably the determining factor in this game is going to be, can you generate enough pressure on Joe Burrow to really rattle it back there? If the Titans can do that, I think they're going to be in good shape in this game.
I agree. I mean, yes, the Titans are the better team. They have the better roster. Obviously, a great quarterback can be the equalizer there. So, if the Titans better team, you can look at it another way. I agree. Pressure on Burrow, huge. But if the Titans better team gets comparable quarterbacking compared, you know, to the other side, then that's where I like the Titans' chances a ton.
Yep. I don't think there's any question about it. When we come back, we'll be joined by Teresa Walker from the Associated Press. We'll get her thoughts on the Titans and the Bengals coming up on Saturday at Nissan Stadium. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.